Please continue to pray as we continue our service, worship service this morning. Many times, a lot of the songs that are selected, the words of the poets coincide and are in harmony with what I have on my mind, and sometimes the prayers that are offered up are the same way, and sometimes both. This morning I felt like a lot of the things that Brother Jeff said in his prayer expressed some of the theme that's on my mind this morning. I'd like to talk about one of the kings in the Old Testament, King Uzziah. I'm going to begin in the 15th chapter of the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings, chapter 15. And then jump over to 2 Chronicles, the 26th chapter, is where more details of his reign is given to us. But it tells, in the 15th chapter of 2 Kings, it tells when he began to reign. Well, I'll go ahead and say here, Uzziah was king of the southern kingdom of Judah. And so he was king of that divided kingdom, that portion where Jerusalem was. And even speaking his name here, this first verse, if you've already read it, you don't see Uzziah anywhere in these. In fact, until I think the 13th verse, but it says, began Azariah, son of Amaziah, king of Judah, to reign. So he's called Azariah in the first part of this 15th chapter. To me, as I go through and study God's Word and try to follow things throughout the Bible, because it's not chronological, and so you have to go. And then there's some things that are that happened in the Old Testament that we learn even more information over in the New Testament, as they write, the inspired writers wrote there. It's hard enough when they keep the same name across the entire Bible. Uzziah has in the Bible has three different names. Now, one of them is logical. Ozias is the Greek name in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 1, verse I think 8 or 9, right down in there, it speaks of him in the lineage of Jesus and of Joseph, the father, the legal father of Jesus, but it has his name in there as Ozias, and here it has Azariah, but Uzziah is his name, and that what makes it even more difficult as we go through here, and I'm just reading along. When once we get over to the 26th chapter of 2 Chronicles, then one of the priests, that the high priest that confronts King Uzziah for a mistake that he made, his name is Azariah. So you throw that in there. So, but Azariah is a very common name. If you have a book that I have, and it's all the men of the Bible, then that's several pages long. I don't know if it's like the name John. It's just a common name, but it was common. But Uzziah is who we'll refer to this morning. He began to reign in the second verse there. 16 years old was he when he began to reign. He's 16 years old. His father was 25 years old when he began to reign. His grandfather was only 7. Now, I know there were priests, there were prophets, there were counselors around these kings, and there were reasons for all this, but I can only, thinking that through and their ages and so forth, being 16 years old, I can still remember when my son was 16, I can't imagine him reigning over a kingdom. I suppose I know that if God blessed him, if he was blessed by God, he could. But if we think of 16-year-old children today, and even 25 years old and all, but that's how old he was, just to set that picture here. And he and both his father were good kings. It's very plain. God is plain in his word here. He'll say that he did that which was evil in the sight of God, or he did that which was good. So we have something to go on, and yet they're not perfect. We'll see in his case, in Uzziah, he was not flawless. We know that, goes without saying. There were several prophets that were at this time, his contemporaries, Amos and Hosea, Jonah and Isaiah. I always think of, and in many books in the Bible here, a king would have one prophet that would primarily counsel that king. And yet we see, we can look in some of these other minor prophets that they wrote at the same time. They were living at the same time. And to me, I don't know about you, but to me it gives me a better picture and an easier way to remember what's taken place if I lay out some of the images of that. Even thinking about the temple in the time that Jesus Christ was here on earth in the flesh, and how the high priest, his home was right there at the temple, and to picture all that, because as a child growing up, I miscalculated or misunderstood or pictured in my mind how things were set up, and I would love to, not that I need to go and see the actual ground where the apostles and Jesus Christ walked and all, but I would love to do that. If I could get over there and home without being hurt or killed. It's very dangerous. But I would love that opportunity sometime just to see that. But anyway, so we have the picture here, his age when he began to reign. He reigned for 52 years, which really, to me, is a short time. I just turned 58, 52. It, to me, is not that long, especially if we look at the number of years that kings reigned, and the others, not long at all, and the length of time that many of the people lived back here prior to this time as well. So he's a good king. It even says in the third verse, and then I'll move on, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father, Amaziah, had done. Now I'm going to stop there. There's a few more details down to the seventh verse, and then it moves on. But many places here it says that it is cataloged in Chronicles as well. So now let's move on over to 2 Chronicles, the 26th chapter, and draw some points here out of his reign. Chapter 26, 2 Chronicles. Repeat some of these things. 16 years old, made him king in the room of his father, Amaziah. Reigned 52 years in Jerusalem, so we know it was in Judah, and that's told to us in other places as well. Southern kingdom capital was Jerusalem. Gives us his mother's name there. And again, it repeats, very important here. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. We can do now. When we go over to Romans and read that there was none good, no, not one, and none that seeked after God and all, that we know that there would be no good in this King Uzziah were he not a child of God. There would be no good whatsoever. He would have done nothing to serve God. It would have been all of this just would have been foolishness. He would have been one of those that was evil. Not that they were not children of God. We don't have to be concerned with that. But let's hang on to that fact as we move forward in Uzziah's life. In the fifth verse says, "And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as Uzziah sought the Lord, God made him to prosper." That's simple. It's logical that he number one, he did seek God in his days here. He sought God. And as long as he did that, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. There's been so many times in my life, and in fact, if I really think about it, I think most of it, where I felt like because of the mercy of God, I wasn't condemned here in time. I wasn't punished. I didn't have put upon me what I should have had. That God was somehow continuing to bless me. And in that, and then other times I felt like just the very raining down of the grace of God, giving us more than we certainly deserve, of the good things that God has, abundance. I believe he's doing that now. I believe back in years ago, early 90s, early to mid 90s, when we had some church troubles where we were there, God graciously, he did not have to provide us a place to go worship him. God was not beholden to me for that. He was merciful and gracious that he provided me and Kathy and Andrew a place to worship him in spirit and in truth, and I'm grateful for that. I know Brother Mike Montgomery's family, his father and all, he was in his job. He was I don't think it was years, months. They lived in Utah, and they had to drive hundreds of miles to find a church, to go to a church. Anyway, God blessed us then, and so his mercy was upon us. But God, as we'll see, as long as Uzziah sought God, God blessed him to prosper in many ways. I'm not going to read on down here, but as we skip over and through the next several verses down to the middle of this chapter, he blessed him with fortifications. He built towers. He was able and with cattle, with natural blessings. And again, remember, because he sought God, if he had quit seeking God here, and we'll see an indication of that, that took place, but if he stopped that at any time, God could very well continue to bless him. I don't want to question the mind of God of why he does what he does, but just to thank him for his mercy and his grace. He blessed him to build fortifications, all the cattle that he had, the armaments that he had, the armies and all, in the battles that he fought. We can apply that directly to us. I never want to get in the situation where I think, well, what does anything in the Bible prior to the Gospel of Matthew 1:1 have to do with us? It has everything to do with us. It has everything to do with Jesus Christ, the Old Testament does. But we can apply this to us. In the battles, all the prayer requests that we audibly make and ask for, and those that we don't, over the last several months, the things from natural blessings, secular jobs, illnesses, blessings after losing a loved one, whatever it is, the battles that we're fighting. That whether it be within our families for suffering physical pain, or as a result of the pain, having to battle other things, God, as long as we seek God, I have no doubt that he'll bless us in that. And what is so wonderful that I have seen, that I have needed, is that I can look back and see where that has taken place, and so it gives me encouragement to do it in the future. Well, he blessed me back then, 3 months ago, 8 years ago, whenever it was. And I know he can. I know he's able. I also know that I'm not worthy, but yet he did it before. And he loves me because Jesus Christ died for me. So he can and he will bless me and bless us in whatever it is, whatever battles. This church has been blessed to build up the fortifications, sink further the bulwarks and the landmarks that God has blessed this church with since 1906 and before, as they were meeting together just in fellowship. That seeking God sometimes to me. It is fearful when God, I know God can read into my heart and he knows what I'm not doing, my insincerity, but yet the times that I believe that he has read into my heart and seen whatever terrible mistakes I may make in working with God's people or shepherding or preaching the gospel, that he knows in my sincerity in trying to do that, that I am seeking after God, and he blesses us, blesses me in that, and I'm thankful for that. And he did that here. Oh, the many battles that we have in our lives where Jesus Christ, our great and merciful high priest, who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, all of our weaknesses, he's touched by that, and he knows even before we realize the severity of those weaknesses, and I'm so thankful for that. My heart overflows when I think of that, that God Almighty, the creator of everything, of the universe, the one that sacrificed our Redeemer, that he cares for us, and that gives us the attention that he does. So he did that here, that as long as Uzziah sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. So he did in all of these things. So when we move on here, we'll wrap up the 15th verse. Skipping through, it's a long verse. I'm not going to read all that. But it says, the second, I believe, sentence in that 15th verse says, "And his name, Uzziah, spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong." So he was strong. He had strength. He's seeking God. And as so many times I say, well, everything sounds good there. How could anything possibly go wrong? How could he go astray at that point? Well, he's still a sinful man. He's still got the outward man, his nature of Adam there, as well as being guided, because he wouldn't have sought God if he didn't think he was God in the first place. But he was marvelously helped. I love that phrase. I think we're marvelously helped until he was strong. But when, in the 16th verse, so we knew that was coming. We have a but in here. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. So there we go. Here it changes. And I think of Israel as a whole. So many times when they were lifted up, when they went astray, he was lifted up to his destruction. "For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense." Well, just on the surface, went into the altar to burn, into the temple to burn incense upon the altar. That sounds like a good thing. Oh, he's serving God. He's burning incense. Well, that was not his job. He was not a priest. He was not the high priest. And we'll see how serious God took this transgression. It says he transgressed against the Lord his God. So he had built up, he'd been built up so strong because he sought after God. And we can see that today in people, not just so many times. And I try to confess in the ministry as a whole the mistakes that have been made in the ministry, being men. And you, I don't have to do that. You've seen it. You've experienced it and all, and how many have gone astray, have deserted God, or in the same case with them, though, as King Uzziah, that does not mean that they're no longer children of God. God has more power than that. I might choose, well, nope, strike his name off. No, God doesn't do that. He changes not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. I'm so thankful for that verse. So that was not his position. That was for the Levitical priesthood to offer incense upon the altar. And yet you say, well, he was king though. This was within his kingdom, but that's not that was not he knew the right from wrong here. And so verse 17 says, and Azariah, there's that same name that was mentioned of him over in the 15th chapter of 2 Kings. Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. So they are there. As I move forward, they're fixing to they're going to confront the king and tell him you can't do that. And they knew they had to confront him, because they knew if they hadn't, then they would be punished of God. I think of Aaron's son offering strange fire upon the altar. Let me grab one verse out of, or part of a verse even, in Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter, while I've got it on my mind, before I go back. As we see this picture of King Uzziah, he was made strong. His heart turned to destruction because he was strong. At that point, God did not bless him to do that, to do the work of the high priest. And so the 15th verse of the 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy says, but Jeshurun, which is Israel, this is Israel, the nation as a whole, Israel waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. Israel, and obviously this is not talking physical here. It's painful to read that verse, but he's talking about that they had become just complacent, just going through the motions. Some of these things, and I wouldn't be able to word for word tell you exactly what Brother Jeff prayed this morning audibly, within our hearts, to dedicate ourselves and devote ourselves with all enthusiasm and zeal, godly zeal and earnestness here. Israel was not doing that, and they lightly esteemed the rock of their salvation. They did that. Uzziah is the same way. He lightly esteemed. There's a phrase, I don't like that one. Marvelously helped is a good phrase. Lightly esteemed, the rock of his salvation is not. This was Israel then, and this describes Uzziah at this point. He had made this transgression. Now I won't go over there, but in 1 Chronicles 6 and 10, it tells about this high priest Azariah, and that his job was to go into the temple, into the altar, and do these things. That was their job. Now, so in the 18th verse says, and the priest, all these, this massive number of priests, they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. So they withstood the king, their king, and this is a dangerous thing for them to do. But it was important enough for them to do that. Now, if Uzziah, all indications are, if he's still seeking God, he would have accepted that. Said, oh my goodness, I shouldn't have done that. apologize, and get out. Get out of the sanctuary, they're telling him, because it was not his job to do that. Wouldn't be accepted anyway of God. But he did not, that's not the way he went. That's not what he did. He did what I've got another time for confession. Now, he did what I would do and I do when someone says, you've done something wrong, you need to fix it or get out. I'd just double down. I would know and try to figure out how can I convince them that I just did right, knowing the whole time I didn't. So, some more nodding I see over here in this right section, the second row, but I'm guilty of that. I'll try. But so it says then Uzziah was wroth. He was angry. He got mad. Here are these priests. His priests were that served him, but actually they served God above him. Much more important. Was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. So we'll stop there. He all of a sudden, right in front of them, he got angry. He had offered this incense, burned incense in there upon the altar. Now he's still got it in his hand. It amazes me the detail there. He's still staying there. He's got this in his hand. He was wroth. And at that moment, leprosy came up on his forehead. Very serious disease there. Before the priest, right there in front of him. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. The Lord gave him leprosy. He struck him, smote him with leprosy, with that disease. And it's not like sometimes, I never had this at home. When I, the few times that I needed reprimanding by my mother when my dad was at work, Mark needed much more of that. But anyway, so when I needed that, she didn't say, just wait till your father gets home. She handled it right then and there. And then probably he would handle it a second time when he got home also, truth be told. But God did not wait till he got out of the temple, got out of the priest's presence, anything. And I believe he showed all that multitude of priests there his power right there. They saw the leprosy come on his forehead. It could have been on his arm, under his sleeve, anywhere. It was on his forehead, right there in their face, and right there in the temple. And then, and so, well, he got that disease. No, it says the Lord, because the Lord had smitten him. He did that to him. Now, that's scary to me. If I do something purposely, if I just make a mistake, if I say something and that's just terribly worded, and one of you have to come up afterwards, I hope afterwards, and in private, and tell me, you really messed up, or do you really think this? And I can say, no, I really don't. I just badly worded it and all that. I'm not talking about being punished for that. God's merciful and forgiving and all, and all. But in that, but to do something just in the face of God Almighty, knowing that I'm fearful of that, and yet I honestly can say, not fearful enough not to do it again. It's terrible, but this show, because this is what happens, this can happen, it's the same God today. It's not, oh, that's the God of the Old Testament. No, it's the God of eternity. So he smote him here. I need to hurry along. Then it says, and Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper. For he was cut off from the house of the Lord. So he's cut off from the house of the Lord. He was a leper, lived in a several house, separate from everyone. It doesn't say anywhere still that he is not a child of God. He did that was right in the sight of God. He did that at some point. So I have no doubt that at this very moment, and yet even if I don't have to judge whether or not his soul and spirit right now is in heaven, I believe it is from what the Word of God says. But in spite of that being the case, he was cut off from the house of the Lord. Then it says in the 22nd verse, "Now the rest of the acts of Isaiah, first and last, did Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, write." So I love it. And in several places in Kings, it says, well, you can look over in Chronicles, and it's Chronicle there. So you know to go over. This is saying in Isaiah, more is said over there. I'm going to end up, hopefully, with one verse out of, or two out of Isaiah. But so he's cut off here. That's the end of his reign. He's there. And it even says in the 23rd verse, wrapping up this chapter, "So Isaiah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial which belonged to the kings. And so then Jotham, his son, reigned in his stead." And he was 25 years old, if I'm not mistaken. And when he, 25 years old, when he began to reign. So Isaiah died. So we don't have any documented time where Isaiah said, I'm sorry, I said, uttered a prayer of forgiveness here. He never said that. Whether or not he did, I don't have to be concerned with that. I don't even have to be concerned with my eternal salvation. It says, be careful for nothing. Don't care for anything. Don't be full of care for anything. That means our eternal home in heaven. So I put that aside, the worry for that, so that I can then worry about everything else here that I have nothing, no power over, or those maybe that I do. So he was cut off from the house of the Lord here. I feel sure that he suffered with this disease of leprosy till he died. That was a pretty bad disease there. He wasn't king. I can only imagine, speculate how he lived the whatever number of years he did then from that point forward, thinking, oh, how would it be had I not done that? How often do I do that? If I hadn't said or done that, what good it would have been? But he there's no evidence of that. But he did that with it was right in the sight of God. I believe I'll see him in heaven, body, soul, and spirit, not smitten with leprosy, but in a glorified body, just as we will have, as Jesus Christ has even now. Now let me move along in just a little bit about his son in the 27th chapter. Jotham, his son, began to reign. It says in the second verse, second part of that, was it also did he did that was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah did. Howbeit, he entered not into the temple of the Lord. Jotham, okay, he was smart. I hope that my son has seen some of the things I've said and done and learned from them and not. Some of the things, I think he's seen me, and he's just gone headlong into it. I said, I could tell you that's not the way to go. But Jotham, his son, learned, and it even says here, howbeit he entered not into the temple of the Lord, he learned his lesson through his father. That tells us, too, that they're watching. They know, they realize, the children, they see us. And that's also kind of scary there. But then it says, it finishes that, and the people did yet corruptly. Jotham could be as good of a king and seek the Lord and all as he wanted to, but the people yet did corruptly there. He can only do so much. This was Judah here in this case. Now, let me jump to what I want to get to, and I'll try to wrap this up. It says again in the sixth verse, this sounds very familiar. So Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. So I think of Uzziah, that he was strong. He was helped by God because he sought God. That was the reason for it. It was spelled out there in the 26th chapter. Here in the 27th chapter, he became mighty, Jotham did, because the reason was he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. If I don't even have to really expand and explain how that applies to me and to us, that we prepare our ways, and that means to prevail, to prepare, to prevail, and to prosper. He became to establish our way, to order, that we are to become mighty. There have been times when I've been confronted with things in the church and outside of the church, where I thought there is no way I can win this battle. There's no way, but I knew, but it's like I just got to go and pray and all. And the battle was fought and won by God. That was the only explanation. There was the only explanation. And so we become mighty to get through that. But for me not to turn and run and go ahead and face whatever those battles may have been, though, I had to exercise faith that God would cause me, if you please, to become mighty because I prepared my ways before God. And that, I don't want to be boastful of that. Because my nature is to not do that. So he did this. So he prepared his ways before the Lord his God and became mighty here. Now, I want to go to Luke, the 9th chapter of Luke. Luke chapter 9, verse 51. And speak about Jesus Christ for just a moment and tie it together with that. That what Jotham did and what Uzziah did in the beginning, Jesus Christ did. Everything that we battle is nothing compared to what Jesus Christ battled. Certainly on the cross. And I mean the wrath of God, you can just throw that out, and that everything else is even just lessened, it seemed like, the wrath of God that we'll never. He took our place there. That's done. And we were judged there. You won't, don't be fearful that you'll, when we die or when in the resurrection, that your body, soul, and spirit will come together with your body again, and you'll stand there before the judgment throne and be judged for everything that you've done. Everything you've committed here, sinful, has been judged on the cross. He was our substitutionary sacrifice. God accepted it. So we don't have any double jeopardy. You're not going to be judged again for the same crimes that Jesus died for. So you can rest in that. And now we can concentrate on doing things that we need to in following Jesus Christ. It came to pass when the time was come that he, Jesus, should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. He steadfastly set his face to go there. He didn't become mighty. He was mighty in the Lord, in himself, in God. And he set his face steadfastly, set his face to go to Jerusalem. And we can see that even, and to know that one verse, Luke 9:51, to know that verse, to keep that in mind throughout all of our reading of all four Gospels, but I think of the Gospel of John, but and Matthew. But anyway, Jesus was arrested and going through the trial and all that stuff that men did to him, the physical things that you're all aware of, and then being nailed to the cross. If we remember this 9:51 here, that he still steadfastly, he was going to do that. He was determined. I should have the same determination. Since he did that, I should have the same determination in my life simply to serve him and to serve him through serving one another. And so I should have that same steadfastness, the determination, and even for me to be able to do that, he had to do what he did. And then beyond that, then, the third in the Trinity had to apply that legal work to me sometime in my life. You're a child of God, being chosen and predestinated and so forth. Jesus Christ performed, finished, completed, absolutely completed the work that he came to do on the cross there. Sacrifice was accepted in your place. And then at some point, that's applied to you. And so your soul and spirit is ready at that point to enter into heaven. So that when we do, when we our natural life ends, we're there. And yet our bodies, not so, as in the case of King Uzziah and many others. Even Jotham, the kings, Hezekiah, King Asa. They all made mistakes, but they did that what was right in the eyes of God. I don't know what my future holds. I hope and pray that I continue to do that. But if I fail at it, if I have any of my mind left, and well, really, it's not even that. I believe, as I've seen and experienced with others, that even when they don't have a mind to remember that and to reconcile that, they can still rest in whatever physical situation they're in, because it's in their heart. It's written there. They have the rest and the comfort and the peace in knowing that even when I may not even know my own family, I'll have that still and still be longing to go there. Now, in Ephesians, the third chapter, Ephesians chapter 3, the... Ephesians chapter 3, about beginning of a sentence here in the 13th verse, the Apostle Paul, he says, "Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory." That says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." And then 16th verse, "That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory," in harmony with the riches of his glory, "to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." There's our strength, and for us to be strengthened by his might, God's might, in his Spirit in the inner man. "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye may be rooted and grounded in love." Now right now, everything, I can't think of, maybe it's because I'm among now such a wonderful people and we're being blessed by the august presence of an almighty God, but I can't think of anything bad, and I don't want to start trying to, that's happening to me in my life. Everything's going, it's so blessed because of the riches of God. But when it doesn't happen, I should say if it doesn't continue and something happens on my job or whatever it may be, then if I'm rooted and grounded and I've been strengthened by his might and to be made mighty because I'm seeking after God and I have shored up. I believe even at this time, this church is shoring up and storing up the solidification and the concreteness of the faith that's given us in God. And he has faith. He had faith and has faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son. But it will give us strength as we try to go through, as we're going through those valleys that we go through. And he can bless us to draw upon that. And not to, as we've seen over the last several weeks, not to look at any man for our strength. Some of them looked, I know, at King Uzziah. They looked toward their king, certainly for leadership and to reign over them with goodness. But all of a sudden, he was struck by God with leprosy, and then he's gone. Let me read out of Isaiah, and I'll close. Isaiah chapter 6. And he words this here when Uzziah died. In the Isaiah chapter 6 verse 1, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, and each one had six wings. With twain covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." the year that King Uzziah died, immediately I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne. If I would just be caused immediately, as quickly as King Uzziah was smitten and struck with leprosy there in the temple itself by God, if I could as quickly then, as quickly as Hezekiah's prayer was answered for the extension of his life in that illness, that quickly, if I could turn past everything and look to the Lord God Almighty, high and lifted up, and even Jesus Christ in all His glory in heaven, if I could look upon that look beyond everything here, and I believe in things that have occurred over the last decade, whether it's just in this country, politically, or whatever it is, or even personally, that I've been blessed to see some of these things close to home, that it caused me, that I felt like, you know, I was wrong in putting any hope in that one person, whatever it was, whether he or she was in the church or in government. We don't put our, yes, we do our civic duty. We vote and we're involved in that and we pray for them. And it's hard. It's hard to pray. It's hard, I should say. It's hard for me to pray for who I might consider my enemy. It's so easy to pray. To pray for you all is so easy. You've given me a wonderful blessing to be able to do that. But to pray for someone who would spitefully use you or who has done that, And you cannot in any way seem to restore fellowship with them. We look to God. We look above those men that we might put our hopes in. We look to God for that, and then we see the result of that. Remember, always remember how King Uzziah, when he sought the Lord, he was blessed by God. He was helped by God. When his son Jotham prepared his ways before the Lord, he was made mighty. And yet Uzziah, his father, was made so strong and mighty that he thought he was above the law. And so it's a constant battle. But we can fight those battles here because the eternal battle has been won. And so we're thankful for that. May God bless and keep you. We'll sing a song now and open the doors of the church for membership. If anyone has a desire to join you, let us know. And then we will shake one another's hands. Do you have a number?
Number 315.
315.